Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business life.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 7th of October, 2016. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting live from Sheffield Live 93.2 FM, but also from the internet via sheffieldlive.org. And of course, this programme is also available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. And talking about podcasts, did you miss last week's programme? If you did, you missed public speaking tips. If you have to speak or present in public, then there are some really useful tips there for you from Bilal Jamil of the Public Speaking Academy. We also heard from Deborah Bullivant of Grimm & Co, the fantastic children's literacy charity in Rotherham. She was in the studio with us last week too. So if you missed that programme, catch up on the podcast section of the Sheffield Live website. Just go to shows, find Business Live, and you'll be able to find it. But talking about exciting guests, what's on the programme today? Well, we have Barry James. He's an author, he's a crowdfunding expert, and he's publishing a new book, Helping Business Advisors, Owners, Mentors and Startups with Crowdfunding. We'll have him on the line in just a few minutes. And also in the studio, we'll be talking with Nicole Jewett about the City of Making Gallery in the Altsyn-I shop in town. So stay tuned. Lots of exciting stuff coming up. Before we turn to our guests, what's going on in business and in social enterprise? Well, if you're an employer, and in particular, if you're a new employer, then HMRC have some help for you. They have live webinars available for first-time employers, and these cover becoming an employer with online e-learning guidance, giving you everything you need to know. Handy guide as well. They've got 5 short videos. Look at HMRC's YouTube channel to find out about the basics of being a new employer, when and how to pay PAYE, payroll software, sending reports to HMRC, sending your PAYE submission, and how to issue P6s. So thousands of other people have taken a look at those. They're obviously free. You can benefit from help and support from HMRC. Worth taking a look. And HMRC also have a number of webinars scheduled during this month. They have one next Tuesday on expenses and benefits for employers, an introduction. That's next Tuesday, 11 till 12. Getting payroll information right, Wednesday, 1 till 2. And next Thursday, how to avoid in-year penalties if you're an employer, 1 till 2 p.m. Now, you don't need any special equipment. You can just join those webinars through your computer. So if you search for HMRC webinar, you'll be able to find more details. Now, in Sheffield, the STEM Strategy Group, which has been working with local and national companies to reach over 1,500 young people each year, they want to influence people in their choice of GCSEs in order to address the skills shortage and try to encourage as many young people as possible to get involved in the science, technology, engineering and mathematics sector, the STEM sector. Now, they're holding a few events in the region, 8th of November in Maltby, 23rd November in Longley Park, Sheffield, 6th of December in Dinnington in Rotherham, 10th of January in Stocksbridge in Sheffield, and the 26th of January in Tapton, Sheffield. They've had commitment from several employers to support these events, but they want support from as many employers as possible. So any businesses listening who are able to give up a day or to provide employees to come along to these events are encouraged to contact the STEM Strategy Group. And you can do that by emailing gary.drabble@sheffield.gov.uk. A new report offering guidance to corporates looking to future-proof their businesses through sustainable development has been published. It's called Breakthrough Business Models, Exponentially More Social, Lean, Integrated and Circular. And it was commissioned by the Business and Sustainable Development Commission, a think tank, BASD for short. They see sustainable development as the greatest economic opportunity of a lifetime to accelerate the world's shift to inclusive growth. The UN's sustainable development goals are mentioned in the report. They consider them to be a radical agenda necessitating a reconsideration of business models to ensure industries are fit for tomorrow's different market and realities. And they say that companies who point to simply CSR, corporate social responsibility, as evidence that they're committed to sustainability aren't going nearly far enough. They say businesses and corporates need to think exponentially and that small improvements aren't acceptable. The report is worth a read, and of course you can find it online. If you look up Business and Sustainable Development Commission, their website is businesscommission.org, you'll be able to find it. Sheffield's Westfield Health has triumphed at an industry awards event and retained an award for the fifth year running. They've won the title of Best Health Cash Plan Provider, beating tough industry competition, securing the award at the Investment Life and Pensions Money Facts Awards in London. Their executive director, David Capper, said, "We're incredibly proud to have held on to this accolade once again." He added that it had been a busy year for Westfield Health with the moving into their new headquarters, expanding into new markets in health, care and well-being, and that they have exciting new product news to announce soon. And Sheffield's PlusNet have announced a record £43 million profit, their profits soaring 35%. The Sheffield-based firm capitalising on what they call the nation's love for Yorkshire. Their profit the year before was £29.2 million. And their turnover has grown 18% in the same period. Customer numbers are up 13%. Their employee numbers have grown 8% to 1,200. 1,000 of those employees are in Sheffield, based on Trippit Lane. 200 are in Leeds. And the figures consolidate their position as Sheffield's biggest tech firm, with finance director Paula Smith saying she's extremely satisfied and proud of the results. The firm is now, of course, wholly owned by BT. BT's chief finance officer, Simon Louth, says it's an excellent performance. What's coming up in Sheffield? Well, of course, the MADE Festival of Entrepreneurship, which has been described as one of the top 10 entrepreneurship festivals in the world, is back for 2016, taking place on the 8th of November, offering what they describe as meaningful, practical advice and inspiration from experts and peers who will share their views, advice and experience on growing and succeeding in business. And speakers include Penny Mallory, Ian Livingston, James Ackrig, Hannah Cockcroft, Mark Mullen. Hannah is a Paralympian. James Ackrig is from Microsoft. Ian Livingston, Sumo Digital. Other speakers include Enterprise Nation's Emma Jones, Josh Littlejohn, the social entrepreneur behind Social Bite, the chain of cafes in Scotland that only employs homeless people, is speaking. Steve Bartlett, Social Chain, and Jimmy Cregan of Jimmy's Ice Coffee. Now, you can find out more about speakers and book your tickets at madefestival.com. There's also a Fringe taking place in the week around MADE, and you can find out details of a Fringe event there as well. So it's almost time to turn to our first guest of today, Barry James. But just before we do, quick reminder, If you want to get in touch with this programme, if there's something you think we should be covering, then you can do so. All you need to do is email jamie@sheffieldlive.org or send a text to 07904 272 200. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter or find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter too. Whether you're interested in social enterprise or business, whether you're starting or running one, growing one, or have an opinion on one, then get in touch, put yourself or someone else forward as a guest, or let us know what you think we should be covering and what would help you. We're always keen to hear from our listeners, so do that, do get in touch. Now, before we turn to Barry James, who will get on the line in just a moment to talk about a new book that he's launching about crowdfunding, time for a quick track of music. And we are going to play London Grammar, and the track is Wasting My Young Years. This is Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. That was a track of music by London Grammar, Wasting My Young Years. Now, crowdfunding is a topic we've covered on this programme many times. We've featured plenty of businesses and social enterprises who have successfully used different types of crowdfunding to support, to start or to grow their businesses. Now, a Sheffield expert in crowdfunding with an international reputation is joining me on the line to talk about a new book he's launching about crowdfunding. Barry James, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining me today. So let's just get straight into it, Barry. You're publishing a book, Mapping Out the New Routes to Funding for All, subtitled Creating the Crowdfunding Guide to Map the Way for Business Advisors, Owners, Mentors and Startups. Looks really exciting. So where did this book come from? Where did the idea come from? Why?
Okay, well, firstly, the book came from the realisation that crowdfunding is doing great things, but it can do a huge amount more. Okay, so we've collected a mountain of data, 425,000 crowdfunds. But when we talk to business advisors about this, they know very little about it, and actually they're the people that people go to about funding. You know, the whole area of access to funding is hugely important, and when we talk to them, they said that they typically don't have any experience of crowdfunding, which is kind of how it happens these days, how you get the know-how. We realize that there's nothing out there. There's lots of material, there's lots of hints and tips. Some of them are very good, some not so good. There's lots of anecdotes, but there's nothing very thoroughgoing that a professional, like a business advisor or a mentor, can get their head around and really understand that this is for real, how it works, and how it provides a way for people to prove their entrepreneurial, you know, capabilities and their venture and become investable.
So that's fairly critical, isn't it? Business advisors may have an enormous range of expertise with regards plenty of other aspects of running a business or a social enterprise and be able to point people in appropriate directions. But if they don't understand and don't have direct experience of crowdfunding, then how indeed could they help? And how many of them have actually even perhaps backed a crowdfund or been interested in enough to find a crowdfund? That's not necessarily sort of pointing a finger of blame, but it's identifying, or as you say, you're identifying a problem here, a gap.
Yeah, absolutely, and there's no blame involved in this at all. This is a new field, and no one's provided this sort of information for them. That, you know, that the sources haven't been there, and when we realised this, we kind of looked at why this wasn't helping, you know, more people. When we realised this, you know, we realised that there's a real need for this. So yeah, absolutely, this is where it came from.
So the book itself, taking, if you like, your own advice, to heart, you are crowdfunding the book, and it's been launched on Indiegogo, the crowdfunding site. What is the content of the book? What will readers be able to find within the book, and how will it help them?
Okay, so first of all, we thought it'd be quite strange if we launched the book without running a crowdfund. back home. Yeah. So, you know, we kind of does feel a little strange, and it better work, because otherwise we'd probably better go home.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to say it's going really, really well so far. We're only just a day into the crowdfund, and it's kind of moving very nicely. So what's in the book? So, well, first thing is something we call the Crowdonomic Mint. What's that? Well, as I said earlier, it's not just business advisors who are kind of struggling to get their head around this stuff, because it is new and the process is different to traditional marketing. It's even different to social media marketing, although it's a little closer to that. And what we realized is the only real way till now of getting the know-how you need to feel confident with this and know what you're doing was to go and run two or three crowd funds. And if you've got a year to spare, that's a great way to spend it. But most people don't have a year to spare.
No,
so we wanted to see if there was a way that we could codify that and make it accessible. And we've created something called the Crowdonomic Mint, which is a way of explaining that and making it accessible, which starts with you as a crowdfunder and uses research that was done in America at the Wharton School to divide people up into the people who know you mm-hmm. and the people who don't know you and explain how it works within that framework. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is you can use this stuff to get VC funding.
Yeah.
It's happened many times. It's happened to people in Sheffield. There's a really great story about a business in Sheffield who did a crowdfund. They didn't reach their target. They got £500,000 of VC funding. So part of the objective of the book is to show people how they can use crowdfunding to become investable and get investment.
And for people who don't know who that business is, can you tell us a bit more?
Yeah, I'm sure Richard won't mind me mentioning Richard Mills. Has got a great business called Sleep Cogni.
Yeah.
As I say, he ran a Kickstarter crowdfund, got a good response. He didn't reach his target, but we had a really interesting conversation with him over at the Y Accelerator a couple of weeks or so ago. I mean, he was saying it was absolutely crucial, because what it gave me was all the evidence to put in front of the investors where they could see that there was real interest in this. They could even see click-through rates and the people were responding at that price point and so on. So instead of going in with, let's face it, a load of guesswork that can just easily about be attacked, he was able to go in with facts and figures and evidence.
Yes, indeed. So crowdfunding is used by businesses and social enterprises often as part of a blended finance model, or it unlocks other types of finance as well. And other businesses use it in effect to get upfront payment from customers. So rather than for small businesses or growing businesses, it can be something that is helpful in terms of cash flow. I suppose also it's a model that artists and performers and musicians have used for many years. In fact, before the internet, there were bands who would simply write to their mailing list and say, we want to release an X album without a record company on board, pay up front for our album, and then we'll make it and send it to you. That was, in effect, crowdfunding, wasn't it?
It was. There was a particular band who started that trend. These were kind of the early days of realizing that the whole environment for business and actually for life has changed by, you know, because we're now networked and we can communicate in ways we couldn't before, and, you know, with being able to transact, so e-commerce means that it's kind of all things that have made this possible. And you're absolutely right, it's part of the roots of this.
Quite indeed. So you mentioned you've analysed several hundred thousand crowdfunding campaigns, and it's important, I think, to mention there are different types of crowdfunding, aren't there? And perhaps you can run through very briefly differences between the different types of crowdfunding, because not everyone would have the knowledge of these.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things that we cover in the introductory chapters, but there are lots of different forms of crowdfunding, but four main ones. So There's donations crowdfunding, which is, you know, very much like some of the earlier donation models, but there's usually a really clear objective, and there are perks or rewards for people who are contributing, so it's a kind of two-way street rather than a one-way street. So that's donations crowdfunding. There's crowd lending, often called peer-to-peer lending, which is really rather like bank lending online, but with a lot of people providing each loan. So people will be chipping in small amounts to make up a loan. There's the one that everyone kind of, you know, gravitates towards for really understandable reasons. That's equity crowdfunding. It's the most controversial in the sense that there's been a lot of work done. We've been involved in that heavily in terms of regulation and working out how this works and how to regulate it in a way without strangling it. But that's effectively selling a piece of the company. It's like Dragon's Den or angel funding, but with a host of angels rather than just one or two. But the really revolutionary one, when you go back and trace the history as we have done, is this thing called rewards crowdfunding. It's a really unhelpful term, actually, because there's a really revolutionary model here that, when you kind of come and look at it, helps a business in ways that other forms of traditional funding can't, because it helps people get off the ground. You don't have to value the business. You're actually, you know, creating the business. You're getting customers, you're getting sales. All these things are happening all in parallel at the same time as proving the model.
So people who want to get hold of the book can do so then by backing the crowdfund, which offers them a variety of different rewards, from the book itself to the book and a ticket at a conference you're running, and a variety of other rewards as well. Now, we don't have long, unfortunately, so let's just first of all tell people where they can get hold of this. You're on Indiegogo at the moment, and
We're on Indiegogo. The easiest way to find this is if you go to New Routes to Funding, the name of the book, newroutestofunding.com. That will get you there. My Twitter, by the way, is my name. It's Barry E. James, the letter E in the middle, Barry E. James. We're on our fourth major conference. You'll be able to get a ticket for that through there at a discount, as well as an early access to the book. There's a little bit of perks there too.
Splendid. That sounds fantastic. So just give out the address again, New Routes to Funding. You can give out the address again, Barry, please.
Yeah, it's really simple. It's the name of the book. It's newroutestofunding.com.
Superb. Well, thanks so much for joining me on the line today, Barry. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. And obviously, best of luck with the campaign in support of the book. You don't need luck, though, because you've clearly planned it and will execute it in ways that you help people in the book to do as well. So it had better hit its target. I'm sure it will. It looks like it's well on the way there. Barry James talking about New Routes to Funding and his book being published soon. Barry, thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. I look forward to speaking again sometime soon.
Thank you. You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. Now, you've just heard from Barry James. We're going to play a track of music which was chosen in advance for us by Barry. He sent in his choice to me last night, and it's Nina Simone's Feeling Good. You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. Business Live is our weekly programme about business and social enterprise. And you've heard this morning on Down the Line, we've had an interview with Barry James, crowdfunding expert, talking about a new book that he's publishing, helping startups, but also business advisors and mentors with crowdfunding. That's being published soon. It's being crowdfunded at the moment. If you've only just tuned in, though, and you've missed that, don't panic, because you can catch up with the podcast of the programme today on the Sheffield Live website at sheffieldlive.org. That will be uploaded at around 11 o'clock today. All you need to do is go to radio shows, find Business Live, and you'll be able to find the podcast and listen and get some knowledge about crowdfunding. And last week's programme is worth a listen to. We had Bill Al-Jamil of the Public Speaking Academy giving some tips for anyone who needs to speak in public, and Deborah Bullivant of the fantastic and innovative children's literacy charity Grimm & Co, which is based in Rotherham. So you could find that too. Of course, Talking Podcasts does a wealth of exciting music on the Sheffield Live website from all the other different presenters who are passionate about the music that they play, whether it's world music, whether it's folk, whether it's Motown, and much, much more. Have a listen, have an explore, and enjoy what you find. Now, I'm delighted to welcome into the studio today Nicole Jewett of Altseeing Eye and the City of Making Gallery. And anyone who's been walking in town lately can't have missed the gallery and the shop with its fantastic, bright, bold, pinky, purpley facade and a big, big eye. Nicole, good morning.
Morning, Jamie.
Thanks very much for coming in. So, first of all, how's it going with the shop, with the gallery, and how did it come about?
Okay, so it's going well. We opened in the middle of April. We actually opened for Record Store Day, was our first day of trading, and we have worked out a deal with the City of Makers Gallery where we are hosting the gallery on their behalf. They curate what goes through it, but we man it from day to day, and that has helped facilitate the shop, which is showcasing items made by local brands, artists and makers, alongside tickets from the independent venues in Sheffield. So we've got tickets for Plug, Corporation, Harley Live, plus loads of the independent promoters. So currently we've got events happening at the Night Kitchen and Hope Works and the Rocking Chair and Queen Social Club. So a real nice selection of tickets available for the great stuff happening in Sheffield.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? So much going on in town.
It really feels like there's, after a quiet summer or a quiet August at least, it's really picked up and there's so many events to choose from.
And one of the good things about the shop is the vibrancy, the fact you can go in to buy tickets, but you are surrounded by things made in Sheffield. We're calling ourselves a city of makers, and here is the evidence, abundantly clear in front of us.
Yes, absolutely. There's some fantastic talent in Sheffield for sure, whether it's the music that we're selling, because we have a selection of vinyl from Sheffield labels and artists, or the craft, or the clothing, the underground sound system culture that's clear, and all of their sort of merchandise that goes alongside that, as well as the tickets for their events. And yeah, really proud to be showcasing it.
So tell us about some of the items that have proven to be most popular or that people have found most interesting.
Okay, so we've been lucky enough to get a regular stock from a local artist called Cameron Bain, aka The Tribes, who is a fantastic kind of graffiti style, very tribal influenced artist, and we've been selling his t-shirts and his canvases and they've been flying out. Really, really proud to have those in there, and they're really eye-catching. People come in because they see them in the window. As well as that, we've sold an abundance of t-shirts for local Baseline label Off Me Nut, as well as their vinyl records, and their crowd come in regularly to buy tickets and pick up their t-shirts and merchandise, and yeah, really nice crowd of people.
Grand, excellent. And in terms of your location, you're opposite one of the biggest building sites in Sheffield now. Well, almost opposite. You're quite near to.
Yes, yeah, we're sort of overshadowed by the Grosvenor building at the moment, but I guess it won't be there for much longer, so we might get a few more hours of daylight.
Yeah, well, that's all going to change, isn't it?
Yes, well, it's under away now. The whole building has been sort of scaffolded up
and wrapped
wrapped in plastic, and they're going to be taking that down over the next few months. So the street that we're on the corner of, so we're on the corner of Charles Street and Pinston Street. Charles Street has been sort of closed. Cambridge Street, which is adjacent to that, has completely been closed. So there's not as much foot flow coming from that side. So we're hoping that people will still see us as they're coming up and down Pinston Street.
Yeah, I mean, so Pinston Street remains as busy as ever, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there's lots of new things popping up on Pinston Street. So just around the corner from us, there's a new independent bookshop, handpicked books, and La Bibliothèque is a sort of couple of bookshops that have combined to use that space. And that's also part of the Renew Sheffield scheme, which is making use of these buildings whilst the redevelopment's happening.
And that's worth touching on, isn't it, the Renew Sheffield scheme as well?
Yeah.
Because meanwhile space and pop-ups are, I suppose, slightly different, but associated philosophies with regards using space.
Yeah.
The meanwhile space has a community interest company has championed this all over the country, and as have people in the pop-ups movement. And there's even a pop-ups for dummies book.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. I think that there's a lot to be said for meanwhile use, and it definitely can help sort of redevelop or stimulate an area. We've seen it in Manchester with the Northern Quarter there, yeah. Which, you know, was very much, it feels like we've got the start of something like that at the moment with Union Street across the road from us and their pop-ups that are happening every day. They have a different food pop-up each day of the week, which is fantastic.
Indeed. And Matt Hills talks about it on the show here.
Oh, great.
Well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, brilliant.
I mean, I eat there most days, to be honest. Between that and then we've got Fanoush and Street Food Chef just around the corner from us again, Sheffield Independents. It's great. There's no need to go to any of the multinational corporations if you're in our part of town.
and that's a good point as well, because there's been some analysis by New Economics Foundation and Clare's Centre for Local Economic Strategies about the value of a pound spent in a local independent owned business as opposed to a business that isn't owned locally, and how that the multiplier effect of that pound spent locally supports far more local jobs.
Absolutely.
And goes much, much further.
Generally, local companies will be paying their taxes, unlike some of the bigger companies. So I think, yeah, and it's also really nice just to have that the community feel of shopping with people who, you know, their name, they actually have a face. I mean, the people who buy tickets from me, that's what they tell me, that they want to buy from a human, not from a computer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is still a booking charge on top of a ticket if you buy it from us. It's just a pound, so that's less than a lot of the booking sites. Yes. Online. But it's the experience as well. And while you're in there, we'll try and tell you about other gigs that are similar to the one that you're buying, or some music that we might have in stock that's, you know, relevant to that genre. So it's an experience rather than just a transaction.
Well, it's something that many of us yearn for, that sort of human interaction and experience.
Indeed, yeah.
and the sort of human algorithm of well, you like that, you might like this, and the serendipitous discovery of things that you wouldn't necessarily know about.
Yeah.
If you hadn't told me about when I come into the shop and buy something.
Sure. So, and it works both ways. Yeah. The customers tell me about things that I don't know as well, so it's nice.
Indeed, absolutely. So you mentioned Renew Sheffield. Mm-hmm. and sort of acting as a catalyst, if you like, or supporting this kind of meanwhile use. So how directly are you being supported by at a local level?
So we had some initial funding, which was to help transform the building from what it was to what it is now, which was, you know, a massive help to us. It really helped just pay for the basic fixtures and fittings and things like a EPOS system, a till, all of the great boring things that you need in order to run a shop. So, Renew Sheffield has worked for ourselves, for a new ladies' gift and dress shop that's opened on Orchard Square. There's the bookshop around the corner from us, and several other pop-ups in the area that have all been funded by Renew Sheffield. So I think the scheme has been successful.
Indeed, great. And so what's the timescale now then? You opened in April?
Yeah, we opened in April with a one-year lease, and we have provisionally been offered a second year. So we know that the building is going to be there for at least that long.
Yeah.
We're just all sort of working together to figure out whether we can keep going for another year. I mean, it is difficult as a new startup. Obviously, the Renew funding helped massively to get us off the ground. The summer was quiet, but now that the students are back, we've definitely seen a turn up in business.
Right. Yeah, indeed. And what do you do to market yourselves and to get, you know, to get those new students new to Sheffield in and to get Sheffielders into the shop?
Well, we come and talk to people like you for a start. We've been on Nigel's show on Sheffield Live TV, and we've done stuff like flyers. I mean, we run a promotion business within the Alt C&I as well, where on behalf of event organisers, we'll go out and distribute flyers and posters. So whilst we're doing that, we've been distributing our own flyers as well to tell people what we can offer. We do in-house print as well. We've got an A3 colour printer in the shop. So for people putting on events, they can pop in and get their posters printed while they wait at a lot less money than what Staples charge.
So that's actually going to be something that's perhaps of great interest and relevance to many small businesses, social enterprises, sole traders in the city.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of the ability to do prints. To do print runs.
Yeah, so print runs as well as distribution runs while they wait. And also we have a trade deal with two local printers so that we can offer very fast turnaround and very competitive prices on flyers as well.
Yeah, great stuff. Superb. So the partnership with the gallery in terms of you provide, if you like, the people on the ground to run it on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Means that the gallery can exist happily, and I suppose the gallery draws people to the shop and the shop to the gallery as well.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a symbiotic relationship, if you like, where neither of us could have afforded to run independently, but together we can facilitate having the gallery and the shop, which is great. And certainly the different events such as Festival of the Mind, which was our last exhibition, has really drawn people in. There was an awful lot of marketing behind that, and we were included in all of the brochures and timetables and stuff like that, so it was really helpful. And then often when people come in the shop, they just glance over and say, what's this? And you know, we can get them into an art gallery where perhaps they might not have stumbled across one before.
Yeah, quite absolutely. Well, let's take a break for a bit of music, and this is some music that you've brought in today.
Yes,
Nicole,
I've brought a track by a local artist who actually popped into see us yesterday. We get regular visits from local sort of artists and record labels. This is just one of them. His name's Parley B and he hails from Doncaster.
And the track is Hot Like Pepper.
Hot Like Pepper, yeah.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. In the studio with us today, right now, we have Nicole Jewis. And Nicole has been talking about Unseen Eye in town on the corner of Pinson Street and Charles Street. That was a track of music that Nicole brought in by local artists from Doncaster, the track Hot Like Pepper. It's Philly B.
Parley B,
sorry. And Hot Like Pepper. He dropped some vinyl off yesterday?
Vinyl and T-shirts. Yeah. Yeah, one of the many local artists that's releasing on vinyl. It's an ever-increasing number, it would seem.
Vinyl's really having a resurgence, isn't
definitely,
it?
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. And we sell a selection of Made in Sheffield vinyl plus a selection of Chosen by Sheffield Artists vinyl. So we've got more than just what's manufactured here or produced here. And we've got lots of regular customers who come in and tell me I'm a vinyl temptress, so it must be a good selection.
What a brilliant description that is. And lovely, of course, to see this resurgence in vinyl and to see how much interest there is in the products, the T-shirts and everything else that you sell in the shop, alongside concert tickets, gig tickets and so on. So tell us a bit more about some of the artists represented in the shop, some of the makers.
Yeah, so we've got a real wide range of makers. So it's starting with people like Scavenger, who make interesting items out of recycled climbing rope.
Yeah.
She does bags and purses and belts and dog leads and dog collars, and they're fantastic. They really draw people in. And alongside that, we've got other recycled jewellery by Pert Light Pyatt. We've got some beautiful stuff by Jill Cosford, who does clay creations, beautiful sort of diaries covered in flowers and lovely necklaces and bracelets and earrings and stuff like that. We've got hand screen printed T-shirts and jumpers by Bodica, who works on Burton Street where the peddler's market happens.
Yep.
And yeah, some really beautiful stuff. And they're all small produced, so if they're not one-offs, they're very small production. So it's nice to know that you're not going to see loads of other people wearing the same thing.
It certainly is, real unique or one-off. Yeah,
yeah, lots of very quirky things as well. We've got a fantastic selection by the Chillingworths, mother and daughter, who make beautiful items of clothing out of African fabrics and really colourful. And yeah, they certainly draw people in as well.
Excellent, wonderful. So you've been open since April in the shop. What do you know now that you wish you'd known at the start? Or if you want to phrase it differently, what tips would you give anyone running independent retail businesses?
Well, we're learning as we go along. One tool that I found really, really valuable is a good EPOS system, because that enables us to really track what's selling. It produces reports for us at the end of the month so that we can report back to the vendors and let them know what they've sold. That's made my life really a lot easier than it would have been if I was doing it by, you know, manually. And also just being able to look at what is selling, I think, is crucial. You know, a lot of big businesses spend a lot of money on software that does that. I actually found an open source bit of software.
Did you?
It was free of charge, but it looks like the old DOS system, very basic, but its functionality is brilliant.
Job.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think having your kind of systems in place from as early as possible is crucial. We've found some great support from VAS, Voluntary Action Sheffield, in terms of bookkeeping and accountancy.
Right.
They've got a community accounting service, which we've tapped into. And that sort of stuff's great. I think get to know what services are available locally. You know, Voluntary Action Sheffield are really affordable and offer kind of services which you could spend an awful lot of money on if you didn't know where to go.
Yes, you could. So that's been absolutely invaluable by the sound of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, our landlords is CADS, who also run Union Street or manage Union Street across the road from us. And it's really helpful having people who've got experience of renting buildings and leases and all of that kind of stuff to help us along the way.
And a landlord that's supportive in terms of they want this to succeed.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're doing lots of great stuff with buildings that might otherwise be empty in Sheffield.
Yeah. And then that creates a thriving city centre and makes.
Crucial. It's crucial. You know, having loads of empty shops is definitely depressing.
Yeah.
And I think it's contagious as well. You know, it affects the businesses around it. So trying to fill them with interesting pop-ups is definitely a great way of dealing with potentially vacant buildings.
Superb. Well, some really good advice there as well, Nicole, in terms of systems and processes and calling on expertise from people like VAS, their community accountancy service. Mm-hmm. So obviously invaluable. And you've had a great track record in working in local independence and in the music industry as well, with as you worked previously, of course.
Well, I came to Sheffield originally to work for Drum and Bass Arena when they were still based here back in 2002. And that was, at the time, one of the biggest dot-com boom companies, certainly from from an underground music perspective. And I worked for them for nearly 3 years. They subsequently moved to London, and I decided to stay in Sheffield, as many people do. I later did a degree here. I didn't come here to do a degree, but ended up doing one here, and worked for the O2 Academy for nearly 4 years, and then for Regather, as you mentioned earlier, and then Mr. Pickles, which is another great independent in Sheffield.
Yeah, and Paul, who runs Mr. Pickles, has been on the show as well.
I think I heard that one. It's really great to see those kinds of businesses that are really proudly sort of Sheffield and, well, Yorkshire, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Brilliant. Well, I could go on. We could go on for much longer. But first of all, it's 4 minutes to 10. And secondly, I know you need to open up Out Seeing Eye at 10. And I need to let Sam & Co into the studio for the fantastic folk programme, which is on after us. So I really appreciate you coming in today, Nicole. Thanks for taking the time to come and talk about Out Seeing Eye.
Thanks, Jamie. It's been really good.
It's been brilliant to talk with you. And of course, you're online as well. People can find you on Facebook, Out Seeing Eye.
Yep.
On Twitter as well.
Yeah, Instagram. And there's a website with our contact details if they want to speak to us directly.
Excellent. Well, Nicole Jewett, Out Seeing Eye, thanks so much for
joining
us today. And you've been listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. Quick heads up, there are a few free business information sessions coming up from October to December, organised by Business Sheffield, covering social media, maximising your website, marketing fundamentals, retail insights, creating a brand, and many more. Most of these are listed on the Business Sheffield website. They're all free, so could be of interest and benefit to many, many listeners. Take a look at Business to Sheffield or find at Chef Business on Twitter for details there. And in the programme today, we've heard from Barry James talking about crowdfunding and specifically a book giving advice not only to startups and businesses, but to business advisors and mentors too. And from Nicole Jewett of Outseen Eye. And so my thanks to them. We've heard from Nina Simone, Barry James's music choice. And we've heard from Parley B, Nicole Jewett's music choice. And we'll be back on air next Friday. So thanks so much for listening today. Thanks also to Sangeeta in the studio as our sound engineer. Don't go away now, because next up is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk. And we'll play out with a little bit of Massive Attack.